My name is Rebecca. I am 14 years old, and today I had ice cream.
My name is Kimberly. I'm 12 years old, and today I ate a Starburst.
You're listening to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and don't be fooled by the youthful voices of Seattle sisters Rebecca and Kimberly Young, or their sweet teeth. These are a couple of very smart, highly motivated young women. And that first became clear to the world a couple years ago.
It was the summer before my fifth grade, and we were just looking for kind of a family project to do together that summer.
We were going to do a chicken coop in our backyard.
But instead we decided on, you know, launching a weather balloon.
So I think a lot of people have seen those online, but can you just explain for somebody who's never seen or encountered this project before, what is the weather balloon project?
So a weather balloon is essentially a very large helium balloon that is sent up with different instruments to collect data about weather and other things.
How high do they go?
Our first one went to 78,000 feet, and I think the highest went to 101,000 feet.
Ours went into the stratosphere, which is the sort of the second layer of the atmosphere.
It didn't go all the way to space. For reference, it's about the first launch went to about 2.5 times the height of Mount Everest.
What were the instruments that you sent up?
So we had an Eagle flight computer, which we ordered online from a weather ballooning website, but it tracked things like temperature, pressure, altitude, speed, direction.
And did you have a camera as well?
Yeah, we had two cameras, which was really one of my favorite parts of the project because we just have these really beautiful pictures from up there.
What does it look like?
Well, most of the images that we have, you can just start to see the curvature of the Earth, and there's a little blue ring of the atmosphere on top of that. And the entire top half of the picture is just black, empty space, and it's really, really cool to see.
So even though you're not in space, it sort of feels that way. It feels like you're above the Earth's atmosphere and into the blackness.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you think anyone was going to care that you did this?
Not at the time, no. It was just our family thing. To us, it felt pretty similar to finishing a Lego kit. And it had really never occurred to me then that other people would find it so interesting.
They did find it interesting. By the girls' third launch, they were getting covered in newspapers and magazines and national network television.
A lot of people are excited because the solar eclipse is on Monday and has scientists across the country excited. And two of the most excited may be these two sisters from Seattle, 10-year-old Kimberly and 12-year-old Rebecca. They're going to send up their homemade launcher during the eclipse.
They got to tour NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and they received another very special invite.
We got nominated to go to the White House Science Fair, where we presented our project for the former President Barack Obama, and we just had a conversation about our project. It was really amazing.
He really understood what we were talking about and really understood and asked pretty in-depth questions that we just hadn't heard before.
I can imagine this is kind of a defining moment of your childhood, right? That's a big deal to get that much attention, to go and meet the President of the United States and so on. So were you thinking about how to follow up on that or what your second act was going to be?
We thought a lot about energy production, actually, sustainable energy, but we didn't really end up following through on that summer. What we really started to think about was an issue that we cared more about was homelessness. And that led us to the Tinley House.
Specifically, that led them to an office, the Low Income Housing Institute in Seattle at 2407 First Avenue, Suite 200. Who cares about the address? Well, it happens that today on Sound Effect, we're marking our 200th episode. So every story today is one we found through a connection with a Suite 200. That office is where Rebecca and Kimberly's next project took shape.
We found video about Lehigh, the low-income housing institute, and they create tiny houses where it's 8 by 10 feet, about the size of a small bedroom, where homeless people can live and have temporary housing until they can find something more stable.
And what made you care about this issue?
Well, I do martial arts in the International District, It's called Wushu, and every time I drive there, we pass by a lot of tents and homeless people on the sides of the streets, and we just really wanted to do something to help solve that problem.
Yeah, say more. I mean, a lot of people pass these tent communities, and it's a very visible thing, but not everybody does something about it.
I think you're right that a lot of people do pass these, and I think a lot of people want to make change, but aren't quite sure how they can, because homelessness, especially in Seattle, we know is such a big problem, and it can seem insurmountable. We knew we wouldn't be able to just start something that would fix the entire problem, but by physically building a tiny house, we have the capability to take at least one person off the streets.
Yeah. So how did it begin? How did you start the project?
It took two forklifts of two pallets of stuff that arrived in our driveway, and it was a lot of materials. And we just started by looking at the instructions and sort of trying to figure out and sort all the different things into what steps we would need.
Yeah, so there were instructions to kind of help us build, but for us who had never done any construction before, I guess we were expecting like IKEA instructions, like you nail this here. It wasn't like that. It was like, frame this wall. I don't think the instructions were all that comforting at first.
What do you need for something like this? I mean, like, can you just do it with a hammer and nails? Do you need some serious power tools? What do you need?
We used power tools a lot, mostly the miter saw and the circular saw to cut bigger things. But quite a lot of just the combining things was just a hammer and nails.
Yeah. She turned out to be better at hammering than me.
Do you agree with that, Kimberly?
Well, at the end.
I was frustrated by this. There was a little bit of jealousy there.
Was there anything that you guys weren't allowed to do that had to be an adult? Or were you guys basically allowed to touch all the parts of it?
We were allowed to touch everything once we'd learned how to do it. Our parents didn't just send us out, here's a saw, you've never used it before, go. We learned, and they watched us practice. And then after a while, once they knew we could do it, it was fine for us to just go and, you know, cut a piece of wood.
So how did it go? Were there parts of it that took longer than you expected, or easier, harder than you expected, more fun than you expected?
I think something that was really important for us is that we did it with a lot of our community. And it was just, you know, some friends from school or family friends or cousins came out. And there were definitely times when everyone was building together. Like on big days, the first day we made the floor, we had a bunch of people over and everyone was working and everyone had a job. And I think those days were the most fun for me.
So how often when you were working on it, did you think about the larger purpose of it and think about the person that you hoped at some point that this would help?
Well, when we had first finally decided to do it, we took a visit to one of the tiny house villages, and we were guided by someone who worked at Lehigh. And actually being there and seeing other tiny houses and just seeing how the village worked and talking to people who lived there really, really grounded the experience for me and made it real. And I think I was skeptical about it before, but that was what really convinced me that we had to try.
What do you remember most about that trip? What do you remember seeing, hearing, people you met, etc.?
I think the village was actually somewhere that we'd been around. We just hadn't really noticed the village before. And I think being there and seeing, you know, familiar buildings around us and just noticing that here was a place where everyone is trying to do better. Everyone's trying to get back on their feet, and seeing how much this house actually helps them with that. It's not something that I had considered before. But like they said, having a place to be able to lock your door and say, this is mine, can just give you the confidence to maybe apply for a job or look into more permanent housing, which I was really happy to be able to help with.
Yeah. How about you? Do you have any memories of that trip that stick with you?
There was a community where everybody helped each other. There was communal kitchen, and everybody shared everything with each other. And that was just really incredible to see how much everybody was trying to get back.
What do you remember feeling when it was done?
I remember we posed for a picture in front of it before the forklift came to take it away again. And I just remember thinking, I was very proud of what we'd done, but it was also a little bit bittersweet because this thing had been in our driveway for 2 months and now it was leaving. And it was kind of like, there was kind of a piece of us in it, just a piece of our accomplishment. And I remember, I felt kind of weird that I wasn't sure what quite to call it at the time.
It was a little bit sad to see it go away. I was the only one home when the delivery guy came. But it was mostly just happiness that I knew that we were helping somebody and that our project would benefit others.
So what has become of the house?
So it's in the Love, L-U-V, Lake Union Village, tiny house village. And it's there. There are people living in it. And as far as we know, it's been a success.
Have you ever thought about going to visit or meet the people?
We have thought about it. We actually really considered it. But in the end, I think
we decided against it.
We wanted to respect their privacy. And so we figured it would be, I think that would benefit us more than it would benefit them. And we just wanted to respect them as much as possible.
You're like a more grown up than me in that respect, I think. So looking back on it now, what are your sort of biggest impressions? Like, what do you take away from it, from the experience of doing it?
Well, I think for me, remembering how scared I was of it at the beginning and then actually being able to complete it successfully. Like, we met all of our goals for the project. We made the house. We did it before school started. It works. It didn't fall apart. People are living in it. And we think about this a lot. It's in one of our lessons learned from the Loki Lego launcher that, you should just try something. You never know what's going to happen. But this was really, it put that in practice. And I think that really has stuck with me. There have been times where I'm not sure if I should take this risk, but sometimes if I think about the house, it was a pretty big risk to take, and we managed to do it.
Kimberly and Rebecca Young live in Seattle. You can see pictures of their tiny house at our website, knkxsoundeffect.org.